Hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, Howard Blend, and welcome to Howard's Blend. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Pure Grade Supplements. If you are looking for supplements free from artificial flavors, artificial colors, artificial sweeteners, and all active ingredients are clinically dosed, check out Pure Grade Supplements at www.puregrade.com, all together, no underscores or anything. Check them out. Thank you very much. In this episode of Howard's Blend.
You can't deny the power of social media, but what it's turned into is, let's get the most attractive female or the most muscular male that we can get to promote our brand. And I can tell you from firsthand experience that a lot of these people are not taking the products that they're pushing. You know, I've had people approach me and ask me to sponsor them directly, face to face. This is in person, and they've never tried my supplements. They've never taken them. They've never purchased a single product from me.
Well, oakley doakley, folks, welcome to the Batcave Studio for another extraordinary episode of Howard's Blend. In this episode, I had a wonderful discussion with Mr. Corey Tolar, the owner and formulator of Pure Grade Supplements. By formulator, all the supplements, you look at the supplement facts, he formulated it himself. Not contracting it out, not having somebody else do it. He did it himself. We talk about that in the episode, which I'll talk about in a second here. So again, owner and formulator of Pure Grade Supplements. He is also a health and wellness / mindset coach. And him and his wife also have a wealth management consulting firm where they go with legacy. Now they discuss legacy investments, stocks, bonds, etc. And then also crypto for everybody who's into crypto these days, which seems like everybody. But check out his website, puregradesupplements.com, for the supplement and the coaching. This guy is a wealth of knowledge. It's unbelievable. We talk about a wide array of topics. Some of the ones that we cover are the origin story of the supplement company, Pure Grade Supplements, how he formulates his products, specifically his pre-workout called The Clear, which still think that's a wonderful name. I love that name, The Clear. His experience with finding a contract manufacturer and working with contract manufacturers. Those who listen to my podcast on a regular basis, thank you very much. But I actually had an episode on my experience looking for contract manufacturers. We also discuss new products that he's working on, like what products are upcoming. And then we also discuss where does he see Pure Grade Supplements in 5 years. And then we wrap it up with a solid gold segment where I ask him, is there anything else you want to add? And he gives me advice on SMB nutrition. However, anybody who owns a business, is looking to scale their business, it is solid gold advice for anybody. So tune in to the end. It is wonderful advice. If you want to reach out to Corey, he is on Instagram. His username, I don't really know the name, but they call that, I guess, Instagram username, is Corey, C-O-R-Y underscore Pearce, P-E-A-R-C-E. Underscore Co, C-O. Pure Grade Supplements is also on Instagram. Pure, P-U-R-E, underscore Grade, G-R-A-D-E, underscore Supplements. And again, the website is puregradesupplements.com. All the links will be in the description of the episode. So sit back, relax, listen and or take notes, because there's a wealth of knowledge in this episode. Again, Corey is a fantastic dude doing great stuff. I can speak for that personally. With his supplements, I've tried his Nepenthe, which is the herbal chocolate. It is great. Tastes great, and it's a great pre-workout pick-me-up. Just one little square is all you need of it. It's good stuff. Go check it out. I highly recommend it. Thanks for listening.
All right, well, thank you, Corey, for joining us today on Howard's Blend. You are the owner of Pure Grade Supplements, so as a fellow supplement company owner, wanted to have you on today. So, first question here. Your supplements originally started as labeled under Corey Pierce Co. Now they are Pure Grade Supplements. When did you start Corey Pierce Co.?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, and also, thank you for having me on the podcast, man. I'm excited. Love talking to fellow business owners. So to answer your question about the Corey Pierce Co. Pure Grade Supplements, I actually launched the products about 3.5 years ago. I was making them in my bedroom for myself and for a few friends and fellow athletes, local athletes, and wasn't too happy with my current profession. I was managing a car dealership, so my wife mentioned to me, she said, why don't you go ahead and start a company out of these products? So we launched it under Corey Pierce Co. I was also doing some training at the time. So we were going to bundle the products together. I had one product, the Clear pre-workout, and my coaching service. So that's where Corey Pierce Co. came from. We were also selling some clothing as well. And it kind of started to get a little bit confusing because we had the supplements, which they really do act as a separate entity versus like the coaching program, for example, the coaching. And I'm a swim coach and a strength athlete coach. And when I'm doing that, you don't have to have supplements. Those two don't have to go together. They can be completely separate. Some people don't want supplements, can't take them for whatever reason, even though our products are natural. Some people just don't understand it or just, you know, simply are not able to have the products. Like maybe they're remote and they can't travel with them, for example. So it got a little bit confusing, and I wanted to make it to where Pure Grade Supplements is very clean and precise. You know what it is, Pure Grade Supplements. It kind of explains it in the name. And then the Corey Pierce Co., that still is the name of my company. We just did a DBA and switch. So we had to do all the rebranding. We made a new Instagram. We made a new website. We made all these new shirts and clothing and all of the stuff. The rebranding is definitely a task. And you definitely want to know what you're doing before you just decide to rebrand. But I do think that it was a step in the right direction. It was just, I got the same question over and over again. Well, what's Corey Pierce Co. and what are these supplements? They never really understood the difference or how they went together. And Corey Pierce Co., that's my first and middle name. So my wife and I just kind of came up with it one night, and that's how that name started, and that's how it shifted. Long story short.
Well, switching over to Pure Grade Supplements, I mean, now tying that into the kind of the purpose behind your company, you know, as you were mentioning the, and I also saw on your Instagram that the no artificial flavors, you know, it's got the clinical dosages of all the ingredients. I love the name Pure Grade Supplements, and the Clear. I love that name of the product as well, which now that you mention it ties into another question. So from what I see, it looks like you launched the Clear in February 2019. Now you formulated the product. You mentioned before that you were making supplements for, you know, have your friends try and everything. I think I saw on your Instagram you had you were putting ingredients into a little purple pill, is what you called it, the purple pill. So for the Clear, we'll stick with the pre-workout. When you got the idea for it, what type of research did you do to figure out what went into it? I mean, I've looked at the supplement facts panel. What research did you do to figure out exactly the formulation for it?
That's a good question. So my past history before I was managing the car dealership and all of that, my adult life, I was working for different supplement companies. I was promoting for different brands. I had worked at a local GNC store. I had worked at a few other local supplement stores. And then the companies would reach out to me directly to have me promote their products. And I got real familiar with all of the ingredients. I've been studying nutrition and reading herbal books and nutritional books since I was 15, like the dictionaries, kind of nerding out on it in a way, and really getting comfortable with the science behind it and, you know, effective human dosages versus dosages done on animals or rat studies. I never really got too much from products when I would take a rat dosage, as I call it, or a test dosage. But as a clinical dosage, I started to get different results and more benefits. So fast forward to creating the product or the idea, I was actually promoting products and selling products to make a living that I did not believe in and that I did not use. Like, let's say I work at one of these big supplement companies. I'm not going to name the one, but I was pushed to the specific one I'm talking about right now. I was pushed to just sell products that would come up on the commission sheet for that month, or maybe for that next 3 month, that quarter period. And what I quickly began to realize is that it was all marketing. It was all incentive based. And it wasn't really about if the product was good, if it was healthy, or what it was, or any of those things. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, a lot of companies, their bottom line is money. I was going into this industry and I was interested in this industry to increase my own health, to improve my own life, and to get stronger and bigger and faster. I mean, that's what, as an athlete, that's what you want. I don't care what flavor something tastes like or what it looks like on the package. I want it to be healthy for me and I want it to work. So that's actually why I began to start making my own products. The Clear I started making in about 2016, the pre-workout that we produce. I started making that 2016, 2017. I started making it and I didn't have any flavors added to it. We had no additives, nothing, no fillers, no artificial colors, flavors, or anything. Because I was just drinking it to go to the gym and go participate in my sports that I was still playing and still competing in at the time. And I didn't need all that extra shit in there. So I started to really question the entire industry at that point. All of the different products that I was taking, man, I've taken all the different proteins. I've taken fat burners, pre-workouts, thermogenic, all the different thermogenics and nootropics. I've taken pro hormones. I've taken all of the products that they sell on the shelves, the test boosters. And I will say that I'm one of those very sensitive individuals. I'm a big guy. I'm 6.5 feet tall and 250 pounds, but I'm very sensitive to any stimulants and hormonal products. And I started to get all the side effects that they list on the back of the bottles that you, when you pick up a fat burner, it says it may give you this whole list of side effects. And I started to get all those, and the thermogenic products really kind of wound me up and I didn't like it. Testosterone boosters and all that, I would either get no benefits or I'd get a lot of side effects. And that's when I kind of quit taking all of my own product or all of the products that I was selling and making my own products. And then I decided to step away from the industry professionally and move on. And shortly after that, I realized that I still had a passion for it and I was still wanting to I still wanted to be a part of the industry and I still wanted to help my friends and athletes and myself get bigger, stronger, faster. So I ramped it up and my wife and I launched the company late 2017, early 2018. And we've gone through a few different formulations and flavors, but it's going well. People are really starting to realize that they don't have to take the chemicals and the flavors and all the artificial shit with their healthy supplement.
Great answer. And what I took away from the first one is the rat dosage. I'm going to use that. I love that
term. Hey, man, you know, creatine, if you take this amount, it's going to make the rat this much stronger. And that's just bullshit. You know, let's be honest. A rat is not the same as a human. And that's what a lot of the studies are. The new latest and greatest ingredients are really, they don't actually... Some of them don't actually work at all, and they have zero studies or clinical trials done on humans, which It's kind of worrisome to me. You know, just because something's legal does not mean that it's healthy or safe or effective.
Exactly right. Yes, sir. Yep. And another point that you brought up is the supplement companies just making the product not to improve people's life or to help them perform better or to fill in gaps in their nutrition, hence supplements. They just after money. And that's part of the reason, similar to you, although you have a lot more experience than I do actually working in the industry. To me, it was very frustrating that to have these companies to make a product that they were basically just they were selling the packaging like, oh yeah, here's our brand new product. We've redone it. And all they've done is redone the labels. It's like, well, I mean, like you, it's like, I don't care if the label is like a plain label with black letters on it or whatever. If it's a good product, it's made well, it's got clinical dosage, it's been tested, it's made in a reputable manufacturing facility, then okay, that's fine with me. I don't need a sexy label in order to, the term. Unfortunately, I think the consumer has been conditioned to judge a book by its cover. They're looking at something, oh, this one has a cool label, I'm going to get that.
Well, even beyond that, now with social media, you can't deny the power of social media, but what it's turned into is let's get the most attractive female or the most muscular male that we can get to promote our brand. And I can tell you from firsthand experience that a lot of these people are not taking the products that they're pushing. I've had people approach me and ask me to sponsor them directly, face to face. This is in person, and they've never tried my supplements. They've never taken them. They've never purchased a single product from me, and they want me to give them free products. They want me to pay for their, these are all athletes that I'm talking about primarily. They want me to pay for their entry to competitions or to the sporting event, and they want me to pay for their flights, or they want me to pay for all these different things that add up, because participating in sports is never cheap. And they want me to pay for their competition needs, and they've never even tried my product. It is appetizing to me on the money side of it, but there again, I didn't start this company to make money. This whole COVID pandemic has turned into a difficult thing if you own your own business. It's hard to do business. Local retail stores are shutting down everywhere. Gyms open and close, at the drop of a hat. And I'm not going to lie, man, it affects me mentally that I don't want to go to a gym. So then I'm not going to take products the same way, and all these different things add up, and business isn't doing as good as I would like. But there again, I didn't start this. I just had this conversation with my wife this morning that we didn't start this company just to make money. We started this company because we had a purpose to make a clean and effective product. Simple as that. And going towards the influencing and hiring different people or even working with different athletes, I'm very selective with that because I don't want to garnish my reputation of just having, some extremely muscular guy or some girl that's, scantily clad on my Instagram promoting products. I may have that, here and there, but these are people that actually take the products. And if they choose to take a picture that way or they choose to get extremely muscular, that's their prerogative. But we all have different goals. But, at the end of the day, if money is your goal in the supplement industry, you're going to have to cut corners. You're going to have to do things that you don't necessarily morally agree with. And you're going to have to use a lot of the marketing tactics that change rapidly. And I don't really like that myself. I don't like having to change the way that I market. I don't like having to do things I don't agree with. I do want to sleep at night, and I do want to create a sound product. And you can't have it all, honestly. Unless you have a lot of money backing you, or you have a really good network of friends and family and all of that, it's hard to create a really healthy, top-of-the-line, pure product along with the great product margin and great marketing team and all of that, because it's rare. As you know, I'm sure you know, Howard, you probably wouldn't have created your own supplement company if there was one that was already right at the price point that you wanted to spend, with the right ingredients and the perfect dosages and as clean as you wanted. You probably wouldn't have made that product if it was already out there. Am I right?
Yes, you are right. And it goes back to what we were just talking about. It's more of a philosophy of the and the purpose behind the supplement companies. Because I've mentioned it before. The earliest memory I have of wanting to do a supplement company was 2008 when I went to the Arnold Classic bodybuilding show because I used to be a bodybuilder as a teenager.
Oh, yeah.
I was sold by the sizzle, and I talked about Muscle Tech was there. I actually knew the only sales rep in America for Muscle Tech. Worked at the gym with him. But then when I learned more and more about the supplements, it goes back to what you're talking about. Is that in order to make a profit, in order to buy the huge booths at the bodybuilding shows, in order to have all the different athletes, I think at the time Muscle Tech had Jay Cutler, Dexter Jackson, Branch Warren. I mean, they had all the big guys there. It costs a lot of money. Well, I mean, if you're making a product that has the clinical dosage of all the ingredients, you know, you're taking the time to in the expense in order to get it all tested, et cetera, especially if it's given to athletes, you want to make sure like it's informed sport, you know, if they do drug testing or whatever, which costs a lot of money, you know, they have to cut corners somehow in order to pay for all that stuff. So, you know, what's the industry term, you know, pixie dust, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and put on the label, oh, it's got this, it's got that.
Yeah.
Also to your point about using the Instagram models, which, hey, I enjoy looking at the Instagram models for the supplement companies, and I spend some time doing that. They're very attractive women. But, you know, it's not this, as you said, they're usually not even taking the supplements. And if they do, the results they're getting is not from the supplements. They're from another or other products that are not legal for people to take.
Oh, 100%. You know, and it is kind of a, it's kind of a strange thing, the way that the industry has taken off. But, you know, sex sells. I mean, look at those. I'm not even going to try to edit myself. Look at Bang Energy Drinks. That guy has created a whole industry around large breasts, essentially. And he's doing extremely well. I mean, his products are everywhere. He started with Redline and a few other products, and now the Bang Energy Drinks. I mean, it's just taken off, man. I see those products everywhere. I see so many people promoting, like big name people promoting these products. And I mean, I don't know if you've ever had one, but they taste like shit. And I call them the chemical laden cans of energy drinks that they sell everywhere. And the packaging is cool. They got fun flavors, unicorn pea flavor, or I don't know, whatever flavors they have, but it turns into like who can one up the next guy on being the most extreme with marketing, like whether that's sexually or even just, you know, a larger than life bodybuilder like Jay Cutler, for example. We know that guy is not getting his muscle from protein powder or Celtec. Let's be honest, you can't be 320 pounds ripped, you know, up on a stage like that. I train bodybuilders, so I know, you know, it takes one to know one, and I know what they do. And I mean, there's nothing against that. I don't think steroids are cheating if you're in a competition where everybody's taking them, but you can't go on and say, I'm drinking this energy drink and it makes me look like this, or I'm just drinking this protein powder and taking these supplements and I'm this muscular. Even with my athletes, I had one athlete that just became a natural professional bodybuilder, and he takes my products. I will say that. But what nobody sees is his extreme work ethic, his extreme dedication, he's almost completely secluded in his life. He doesn't go out and party. He doesn't go hang out with a bunch of people. He doesn't go on vacations all the time. He's mastered his craft, and he's become a machine, essentially. He's a great athlete, but he doesn't deviate off of the plan. He doesn't eat shitty foods or any of that. So it's not just the supplements. And I think that's what a lot of us tend to forget when we're looking at Instagram. It's easy to forget, you know, seeing all these pretty people.
Well, and I think that's goes to what we were saying. The advertisements make it seem that, oh, well, here's this man that has a great physique, very little body fat, muscular. He's got women around him, and he's holding a bottle of, you know, XYZ supplements. So it's subconsciously, I think people are connecting the two, like, oh, I have to take this in order to look like him, when, you know, there's genetics involved, but then there's a lot of it's also hard work, like you're talking about your athlete, which I guess I want to say this first, because to me, honestly, like with, I mentioned Muscle Tech and other companies, personally, I don't have a problem with them underdosing products or using, you know, whatever, selling with sexy women or whatever it is. It's a business. They're trying to make money. I understand that. I guess my only thing is that they're not, and maybe this would undermine their product, is they're not really educating people on the product. You know, telling them like, okay, this ingredient, this is the clinical dosage. This is what it's used for. This is the benefit of it. They just say, oh, it's got beta-alanine for endurance. Okay, well, they don't really go into what beta-alanine does. You know, to me, it's like, okay, educate the customer. I guess my issue is that a big company, and I use Muscle Tech, I'm not picking on Muscle Tech. You know, they have the money to put clinical dosage in the product. And I understand that, you know, hey, it's a business. The bottom line is what's important. They gotta make a profit in order to keep the lights on and everything. But I guess if they're not, my thing would be, okay, well, then educate the customer more on your products. And then, but, you know, again, maybe that would undermine their whole line of business if, you know, customers then found out that, you know, maybe their products are not up to snuff.
Yeah, it's kind of a give and take thing. You know, I have all of my products are clinically dosed. I'm kind of hardcore about it. I've turned into almost a purist in that way. But, you know, at the same time, I have people that don't give a shit what's in my products. They just want it because, I don't know, maybe they saw someone else taking it, or someone told them that it was good or it tasted good. And sometimes, like, let's say I go out to eat with some friends or fellow business partners or whatever it may be, I almost always get the question, oh, well, what's in the product? I start to list off the ingredients, and these people's mouths, their eyes glaze over and their mouths open a little bit, like, holy shit, that's not what I wanted to know. They want to know what it's going to do. So when I start listing off, you know, we got 5 grams of creatine monohydrate, we have L-tyrosine, we have lion's mane, we have all these different ingredients at these specific dosages for this specific purpose. A lot of the times people don't really care. When I do find people every once in a while, they're usually in the medical field or in the health field, and they're usually like a professional at their job, or they've been in their industry for quite a while. They can carry on with me and talk about different ingredients and different dosages and the results that they've had or the results they've seen with their clients or their patients. And that's pretty cool. But I will say that's like one out of 50 people that even knows about what the difference between 1 gram of creatine and 5 grams of creatine, for example, is just something basic and, you know, widespread like that. Not many people even really care. So I agree with you, man. You know, Muscle Tech does not make horrible products. The first time I took CellTech, I was probably 15, 16 years old, and I gained about 20 pounds. It's the first time I'd ever used creatine. And adding some simple sugars to that and some heavy weights and the high testosterone of a 15-year-old guy playing sports, man, it worked, you know? So I was kind of sold on it. I didn't look like Jay Cutler, but, you know, I was satisfied with my $50 purchase, I will say. But all the ingredients that were added on top of it, all the artificial colors and flavors and all the stimulants and shit that were in there, I probably could have done without. You know, that seems to be a changing tide in the industry. I am seeing different products come out with natural colors and or just no colors added to them. On these supplement companies that were kind of notorious for creating highly chemical laden products, they're starting to clean up a little bit, which I think it's a good thing to be positive.
Well, you mentioned something there that I never considered, in that what the customer wants in terms of, I'm looking at it in terms of my own view, where it's like, hey, I like digging into the science. I like reading the PubMed articles and stuff, and kind of figuring out how this stuff works on a cellular level. But not everybody does. And then, yes, now that you mention, I've tried explaining it to people, and they're kind of like, oh, okay, and they kind of shake their head. You know, like you said, they get the deer in the headlights look and everything. It's like, okay, maybe I should stop trying to go so deep with them. But
That's a good point, man. If you're creating a product for customers, that's one thing. If you're creating a product for a purpose, that's a whole different thing. You know, I could relate it to, I have another business that my wife and I run. It's a wealth management business. And we go over traditional finance with people, and we go over crypto finance as well. And people will ask us questions similar to, like, what's the ingredients in this pre-workout? Like, okay, well, what am I going to invest in, and how should I go about it? We start to explain to them, like, you know, like the basics, and they don't want to hear that. They just want to know the best stock or the best cryptocurrency to purchase. When I start explaining the mechanics behind it, or even the technology behind some of these assets or technologies that we're investing in, they don't really care. So it's not, I don't know how a nice way to put it. I don't even know where I'm going with that, but you do have to figure out your target audience, which is kind of hard when you're creating a product for a purpose. Now, if your purpose is just to simply make money, then your strategy is going to be a lot different than if you're creating a product to actually create health within a person, or create muscle within that person. All these different purposes are going to have a different marketing scheme behind them, or marketing, maybe not scheme, but marketing strategy behind them. And that's something you got to be cognizant of, is listening to your customers. I ask a lot of my best customers, I ask their advice and their opinion constantly. So how do you like the flavors? How do you feel after taking this product for 6 months? You know, what would you like if you could change anything about this product? You know, constructive criticism can go a long way. And not everybody's going to love your product. And some people are going to be scared to tell you the honest truth, like your friend, like your close friends or family members. But having an outsider give you a different perspective can kind of give you a good idea of what the general public wants. That's kind of what I've found. So I have to dumb down my conversations a lot versus me talking about nerding out on the ingredients, or nerding out on what the clinical dosage is, like a PubMed study, or, you know, a double blind trial or something like this. People don't really care about that, you know? And when you start throwing out statistics and numbers and percentages, a lot of people probably think that we're full of shit. And also, on top of that, is that even the question that they asked? If they ask what's in the product, they don't want to know how much stronger this ingredient made somebody in a clinical trial. So I'm guilty of that too. I'm over-informing people. I'd get excited if they ask about one of our products, and it's exciting. You know, if I ask you about your product in line at the coffee restaurant, or the wherever we're at, if I see you in person and I ask you, you're probably going to get excited about it, and you might overshare. So something that I've found, and that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, that is a great point. You know, in terms of I could think of, you know, if I had to take my car in to get it serviced, well, I don't care about all the details about what the catalytic converter does or this or that. It's like, yeah, how much is it going to cost me, and are you going to be able to fix it? So I guess trying to look at it from the customer standpoint, which is that's a good business practice as well. But as you said, depending on what the purpose of your company is, that can be good.
Yeah, that's a really that's a good correlation there. I like that one.
One thing. So you mentioned, and I also saw on your Instagram, manufacturing. So when I was trying to find a manufacturer, I think I called and or emailed like over 30 different manufacturers. Some of them never contacted, which I understand. Hey, if they looking at me, they're like, yeah, we're not going to get any money out of this guy. The only question I could really think of with this, trying to be as specific as possible, but how was it trying to find a contract manufacturer to make your product?
Well, that's a good question, man. That's one of the most difficult things in this industry. I will say, if you want a quality product, and you want it to stay shelf stable, all of the things that go into creating a product, I have a lot of friends. I have some very successful people that I'm very close with in the nutritional supplement industry that have created ready to drink products, powders, and different pills as well. And they gave me some very good manufacturing options that I got to reach out to. I had kind of a warm introduction with them and was helped a little bit. I reached out to a few on my own, a few random ones. I settled with a company in Dallas to create my first powdered product, which is the Clear. They're a massive company. They had a huge multi-million dollar facility, FDA registered, all that good, happy stuff to do it the right way. All was going well. Had a little bit of a lead time issue in terms of the product turnaround, but the prices were pretty good. They were kind of low for the industry, and it was pretty good. Pretty good first experience. I get my second batch made. It was thankfully a little over quadruple my first order. So that was showing, you know, growth in the company. They like to see that my second order was over four times as large as my first order with them. So they actually kind of gave me a little bit better treatment. Go on to my third, looking to launch the product and online and a few different other retailers and to a few stores here in Austin. And I reach out to them and I find out that they got shut down by the DEA. The DEA actually raided our supplement manufacturer, one of our manufacturing facilities that we were using and contracting. And I can't get a hold of anybody that works for them, that worked for them at all or anything. I don't know if they're all in jail or they've been told to not speak to anybody, but I can't get some of my flavoring formulas and ratios out of them. And it's turned into a headache. I'm not going to lie. It's a little bit of a mistake on my part. I didn't have the exact ratios of flavoring, of natural flavoring that we use, but finding a good manufacturer is a difficult thing to do. You want to find one that you can trust. You want to find one that will guarantee the ingredients that they're putting into your product. You want to find one that also has usually an in-house lab can save you a lot of money and a lot of headaches. If they don't have that, then I would definitely recommend getting your products third-party tested. And I've had a few friends have to sue their manufacturer because they rip them off on, if it's a large order, tens of thousands of dollars, and they send you a bunk product or product that's severely underdosed, that's a liability for you. And that's just bad business practice, obviously, with that manufacturer. And I would run as fast as I can from that person or that manufacturer. And hopefully you can come out on the other side all right. But doing your due diligence and talking to people in the industry is probably the most, like, probably the best advice that I could give. I mean, going through a lot of samples with the company, you know, if you settle on a formula that you like, have them send you multiple rounds of samples of that same formula to make sure that it tastes right, that it mixes correctly, that it is what you want. And like I said, try to get some lab results or get a third-party test done on it. It's worth the money because you don't want to get stuck with the big batch of products that are not the product that you're selling, because that's illegal and it's morally wrong as well.
Yes, sir. I mean, wow. So your first manufacturer, they were raided by the DEA. I guess possibly maybe the company's lawyers, whatever, told them not to speak to anybody. Maybe that's why you weren't able to speak to anybody. But
that's what I'm assuming. Yeah.
Yeah, it's... The big thing I was looking for when I was looking for a manufacturer was, were they cGMP certified? Not them, the manufacturer, saying, yes, we follow cGMP practices. Okay, well, I believe that's part of the FDA. They have to follow that with the, you know, the Code of Federal Regulations. I wanted them to be certified by a third party, preferably NSF. So then I found a manufacturer that actually had a certification through NSF for cGMP. But yeah, the third-party testing. I think I wanted the ingredients verified for protein powder, and it was like $30,000 for an independent lab to do like reverse engineering when I was, and I was like, oh my gosh, I can't afford $30,000. I ended up getting it tested for heavy metals, which it actually comes up, you know, obviously it's plant-based, so it's got heavy metals in it, but comparing it to other products and what I've seen in terms of standards, it's low in terms, that's a good thing. Now, for the manufacturing, with this one that you had in Dallas, the one that was rated, what was the minimum, the MOQ when you, for your first order before you quadrupled it?
I think it was 144 was the minimum order quantity. I wanted to go with the company that would allow me to do something low. But, you know, as a business owner, I've turned down all of the investors that have approached me. I haven't taken any loans to do this. This is all out of my own pocket. And I wanted to, you know, start a little bit slow. I think it was 140 or it might have been 280. It's a weird 140 and 280 is like the industry standard for MOQs normally on a first production. Some companies do even smaller than that, but I mean, a lot of the times it's either 140 or 280. I think it was 280 with this company. So I had about 300 bottles made on my first order. That was easy to get made, and I had a little bit of issues because we don't use any fillers to prevent clumping or water saturation or anything like that, and the product actually caked up pretty bad. We'll have to get on a video call next time, and I'll show you one of the original bottles. It's like a brick of powder, so a cylindrical brick of powder in the bottle. And I still use it. You know, I don't sell it to anybody, but I still use some of that first batch myself. I saved a few bottles for nostalgic purposes. And also, it still works, even though it's clumped up, which is kind of surprising.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've had products before that clump, and you're trying to take the scoop, and it's, you get this huge brick of a product on it. So interesting. I know that the number one manufacturer I wanted to go with, they're actually in – they're about 30 minutes away from me. They're in Allen, Texas. And when I reached out to them, they said that their minimum order quantity, which, like you said, you know, 144, 280, I've seen a ton of manufacturers that had about there. That's about average now. I guess everybody and their brother seems to be starting a supplement company. But this manufacturer, it was 5,000 was their MOQ. So one of the final questions here I wanted for you. So you now currently have the clear, the pre-workout, the burn, your energy. I won't call it fat burning because I saw a video from you on Instagram where you got the one of your payment processors didn't accept the fat burning supplements. You have your herbal products. I actually ordered, I believe it's called Nepenthe, the chocolate. I actually ordered, it should be coming today. So I'm looking forward to trying that.
Oh, sweet. And, yeah, man, you'll like it. That's one of my favorite products.
Hey, anything chocolate, I think I'm okay with. So, but I'll definitely try it and let you know what I think. Are you able to tell us, do you have any upcoming product variations or new products that you're currently in the process of developing?
Yeah, thanks for asking about that. And thanks for your order, man. So we got a couple new variations of that Nepenthe chocolate. We have... that's one of our herbal products that we make. But that one, we have a few different variations of it. We've done one with some Texas pecans. We have one with walnuts as well added to it. These are real walnuts and real pecans. They're not a flavoring added. Staying true to brand there. But other than that, I'm working on I want to make a men's Vitapack. That's kind of been one of my things that I want to do because I personally don't use multivitamins, and I've never actually noticed any benefit. I've gotten a lot of stomach cramps and weird nausea problems from multivitamins, but I'm kind of I kind of rattle when I walk around because I take so many vitamins, it seems like, and I keep thinking that if I could create, you know, a good little Vitapack or like a daily supplement routine or daily vitamin routine, that I think that would go over really well with a lot of people and actually help people with their health. You know, like a full dosage of zinc, full dosage of B complex, methylated B vitamins, maybe some other immune boosting supplements and some things to optimize our testosterone as men, like vitamin D3 and again, the zinc and a few other different ingredients. I won't disclose all of them right now, but I wanted to make, like, let's say like one of the GNC Vitapacks, they got a fish oil, they got a multivitamin, they have all these different ingredients in there, but I wanted to make some that's pure and very high dosage to where you just have to take the minimal amount of vitamins each day, and it's simple. You get your little package. We're trying to do it eco-friendly, so it's not a bunch of extra plastic out there in the world. That's another thing that we do with our company is we, with each order that we get, we go pick up 10 pieces of trash per order. So I don't want to create a bunch of plastic for other people or us to even go pick up. I want to make it somehow biodegradable. So we're looking into different solutions in terms of the packaging and the best way to go about creating a high potency Vitapack for men specifically.
Awesome. I know I ordered the Nepenthe Pecan. I think I got two of them. So I'm looking forward to trying that. I know there are, I tried a protein powder, a vegan protein powder. I don't remember the name of the company, but they make the compostable bags and they don't put a plastic scooper in them to reduce waste. And it's the type of bag that you could basically do it, like compost it in your backyard. I know some companies that make compostable bags, you have to take it actually to a facility to have it done. It won't just, if you have like a backyard compost set up, it won't do it there. But I believe this company does. So that may be something else to think about, to help with the trash and pollution, et cetera.
Yeah. Find out the name of that company. I'd be interested. I think I may know who you're talking about. But yeah, there's a lot of different options. And unfortunately, this is another weird thing with our industry is the way that I'm producing products, it actually costs me more money to make something that's void of artificial colors, artificial sweeteners, and void of all these different fillers. They tell me that it's going to take more time to produce my product, so they have to charge me more per SKU. And beyond that, if I want to do some type of, like a paper label instead of a plastic label, and if I want to do a biodegradable package, it costs, from the research I've done and the products that I've found and the options I've found, it costs significantly more to do it this way, which, I don't want to sound too hippie, but something's got to change with that. Like we should be incentivized to use something that maybe is recyclable, if not, because all of our packaging is almost all recyclable right now, but we have to, in Austin, I have to pay more money to recycle products. So I know a lot of people don't recycle just because of that. So something that's biodegradable and easy, like you're talking about putting it, if you could put it in your compost pile in your backyard and it biodegrades, that's awesome. But something's got to change to where we're incentivized to help with the pollution, because the climate change is kind of a hot topic, but from my perspective, when I go to a beach or any water source, I'm a swimmer, so I'm constantly swimming in open water, open bodies of water. And man, the amount of trash that I see and pollution has just gotten, it's disgusting. Like, I don't want to get in water sometimes because there's so much trash. Or I go to beaches and there's trash everywhere, all over the world. And whether or not that contributes to climate change, I'm not going to debate that with people. Too many other things to debate about currently. But just the trash, just the sight of it in and of itself is not positive. And I think that everybody around the world would agree with that. So we need to find something that works for all of us and can help people make money, because that's why they're charging me more, because it's obviously they're not profiting as much off of something that's recyclable or compostable.
Yeah, it's funny. In your last statement, makes sense. They're not, it may cost them, I don't know if it costs them more to make a biodegradable bag, or as you said, they're not as popular, so they're charging more. But you're actually paying more for less. If you're not having artificial colors, artificial flavorings, everything, you're actually paying more for less product. It's like like the popular jeans. I never understood the jeans, like with the holes in it, you know, they cost hundreds of dollars. Like, well, I'm getting less jean material. Why is it costing more? It should cost less.
Yeah, you know, my wife and I joke about it all the time. We really don't go out to eat, and I cook almost all of our food. But for me to go buy my own food and do all that, it's about the same price as me going to a decent restaurant here in Austin. You know, and that's kind of strange. I'm getting less food, or, you know, less service or less time or whatever, or I might even be doing it all myself, but it costs the same as a restaurant. But I'm not eating Sysco quality food or, you know, mass produced style food. So that's where you're paying for more money. But something like a simple ingredient like stevia. Stevia costs more money. It's like a whole nother ingredient added in. They can do my artificial sweetener, or not my artificial sweetener, but a artificial sweetener. I think it's free for them to add it in, or it's so low that they just top it off and they don't say anything about it. But if I want to add stevia to sweeten a product, it cost me like another, you know, it's like adding another line item on, which, as you know, when you're creating a supplement company, each line item, some of them are pretty expensive. And if you want to get an organic or a clean source, or, you know, a trusted source, or God forbid, a trademarked ingredient, you're going to pay a lot of money, and those different line items start to add up, and it can become an expensive product, you know, just because it's healthy or void of fillers and artificial stuff. So yeah, it is a weird concept, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Yeah. I guess to go also to your point about something's got to change on it, I don't know. I'm not a big government guy. I think smaller government is a lot better. But I was thinking about your statement, maybe some sort of if you can show that your packaging is biodegradable, then maybe some sort of tax incentive or something, you know, like they give to people who put solar panels on their roof or something like that. You know, they get a tax break or something on it. To help with your business.
Yeah, it's a carbon credit type of thing almost. That one, I'd probably have to jump through quite a few hoops to write that one off. You know, it's kind of every time I want to write something off that I've thought of or that's a good idea, like what you just had, they make it very difficult to do that. And by they, I mean the government, you know, by the people that take in my taxes, they make it kind of difficult to write things off. That seemed to be a good idea, or even a great idea like that.
You said we were mentioning government, so everything government is never easy. It's always confusing.
Yeah.
We just try to get your driver's license, and that's state government.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Last question here for you. So where do you see Pure Grade Supplements 5 years from now?
Oh, 5 years from now. I had a clear, concise answer for you prior to COVID, but COVID has changed the way that I'm viewing my company and viewing the way that I want it to go. Currently looking to deload some of the marketing and some of the production and shipping. My wife has been like a big help in that. She's actually hired our first intern from the University of Texas here in Austin. We got our first fulfillment partner that reached out through us on Instagram. Actually, they're not all scams. So what we're looking to do is scale up enough to where when we get orders and when we need to produce a new product or even a new batch, it's turnkey. And by turnkey, I mean I can send an email or send some type of signal to my manufacturer, to my shipping companies, and to my salespeople. To say, okay, guys, this is the next step. Let's go. Instead of me having to micromanage everybody, and I'm not super nitpicky, and I'm not really super controlling, I wouldn't say, as a company owner. I actually don't like the title as a CEO anymore. It's just you're doing a lot of jobs, it seems like. CEO is a glamorous word, but in actuality, it's a lot of work. And you play a lot of different jobs in one company, especially a bootstrap startup. But I would like, within 5 years, I would like to be a few different countries at that point. I want to see our products on different, I guess, naturalistic type stores and have turnkey solutions to manufacturing, shipping, and marketing. So that way I can go on with what I'm good at. I will say I'm a great athletic coach and I'm a great formulator and creator. So I've created all these products, but the selling side of it and the production side and marketing side, those are not my strong areas. Those are not the areas that I really enjoy personally either. Some people love marketing. Some people love analytics. Some people love the finance side of it. But for me, I love the creation side. I love going through the motions of creating the label and all the packaging and all of that and the actual product itself. But in terms of selling it and bringing it to market, it's not my favorite part, you know, and it's kind of hard to admit that being the business owner and the creator of the company. But, you know, at the same time, I got to be honest with myself. And within 5 years, I'd like to take some of that off my plate.
It's a great answer. Great answer. And I'm in the same boat. You know, I love the science behind how the supplement works. But when you get into marketing, I have no clue what I'm doing. I'm just like throwing darts at a dartboard and seeing what sticks and seeing what works. Well, that was pretty much all I had in terms of questions for you, sir. Is there anything you wanted to mention before we sign off for today?
Well, maybe a little bit of advice for you is to stay true to why you started and go back and ask yourself fairly often, why did I start this company? Why did I make this product? What is my goal? What is my long-term goal? What is my short-term goal? And what is the best possible outcome that you could come up with? Because at the end of the day, I think our generation, I'm 28 years old. So my generation, I think, is becoming more conscious of the fact that we don't have to just do things for income and just for money, just to create profit. I think that we can begin to do things that we believe in and things that we think can help other people. God forbid we do something to help other people. We do have to make money to pay for our food and for a living and keep a roof over our head and our families and all that. But revisit, as a business owner, you got to revisit why you started constantly, because I've been ripped off by multiple different people. In my first 2 years of business, I was getting hit left and right with scams, with people just, I got ripped off by two different attorneys. A lot of different issues all seemed to arise at one time. And I would find myself in tears saying, what the hell am I doing wrong? Or why am I being taken advantage of? And, you know, it's just, that's kind of the way the world works. You got to watch your back. You got to trust your instinct and your intuition, really, because at the end of the day, you created this product for a reason other than money. You believe in it. You like the science behind it. So you got to stick with that and don't get discouraged. You can always go get another day job or, you know, funnel money in from something else. These product sales do not have to be our source of income. And that's something that I think a lot of business owners and a lot of product manufacturers seem to forget, is that there's other ways to make money. It doesn't have to be cutting out ingredients from your product or making an inferior product that could actually damage people's health, or is just a blatant lie. So staying true to brand, it's a difficult thing, but it's got to be done.
Well, thank you so very much for the advice. I'm part of a mastermind group, and we often talk about list your whys. So that goes right in line with what they recommended. And so thank you very much. And it's also what you were talking about, how, you know, you're 28, I'm 45. And then your generation, that they're focusing more on not so much what making money from a venture, but the meaning behind the venture. And maybe that's why what you were talking about earlier, that more and more supplement companies are focusing on putting in less artificial sweeteners, less coloring. Maybe it's, hopefully, maybe the tide is changing somewhat in terms of what people are looking for. They're actually being more of a conscious consumer and focusing on what's actually in the product and how the products are made. But thank you so much for being on today. I really, really appreciate your time. And I definitely want to talk to you again and talk about your growth, you know, getting closer to every day. You're getting closer to that 5-year mark. You're going to be in international and having all distribution, everything taken care of. So I'm excited to see your growth, sir.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. And thanks for reaching out to me and doing this podcast. This is a lot of fun. I wish you well, man. And I'm excited to see which direction your company goes, man. It's cool. We need more people like you creating a good product. So I wish you well.
Thank you, sir. That means a lot. Thank you so very much and have a wonderful day. Take care.
All right, man. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I want to thank you for listening to this episode of Howard's Blend. If you enjoyed the show, if you find value in its content, then please, 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 please. Well, there are two things I ask please that you can do. One is mandatory. One is, it's up to your discretion. The mandatory one is tell a friend. Tell at least one friend or enemy about the show. Spread the word, spread the love, spread the knowledge. Let's help each other out here, folks. Number two, this is not mandatory, but it would be cool if you did. If you enjoy the show, you find value in its content, on my website there is an option to donate to the show and the supplement company. If you are unable to buy the supplements, hey, I understand. But if you were like, I can give Howard a couple of bucks. There's a donation tab, donate a couple of dollars. Every penny goes back into the podcast / the supplements, not into my pocket to use. So that would be greatly appreciated if you have the means to do so. If you have any questions, comments, cheers, jeers, for myself or for Corey, our contact information, as well as where you can find us on social media, in the description of the show. That's it, folks. I want to thank Corey for coming on the show again and had a wonderful time. I just learned a lot from it, and that's kind of the benefit of doing these interviews. It's cool when I'm on here one-on-one, and I'm still going to do it the solo episodes, jabbing my jaws, boring you all to death over science, mindset, etc., whatever. But you learn so much by talking to somebody else and getting somebody else's two cents on a matter. And there's a lot of things that he went over that I never even considered. I never even thought of. And that's the benefit from talking to people. And it's great to talk to people, have these wonderful discussions. So until next time, thanks again for listening. And go buy some Nepenthe herbal chocolate. Adios.